Good afternoon, listeners. This is DJ Noni here at radio.dominican.edu. And I just wanted to say thank you so very much to the wonderful Sandy Perlman, who came in today in the Arts, Humanities, and Social Sciences program and gave us a beautiful talk about Leonard Cohen, the singer and writer of that song that we just heard, Waiting for the Miracle. Well, today here on Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni, I have with me my fellow DJ, Beacon. Hey, Beacon.
Well, hello.
Beacon happened to be putting together the live broadcast along with Stuart Horn today while Sandy Perlman was giving his talk on Leonard Cohen. And I thought what we would do for the remainder of the time at here at Finding Your Voice is just talk a little bit about what you learned today at the seminar, Beacon. Tell us a little bit what was going on there.
Well, it was great to be there and to be monitoring it. To be fair, I did have my attention split between his lecture and, of course, keeping our sound levels good because we were broadcasting live right here on Penguin Radio.
That is a skill that one has to develop when you are a radio professional. You need to be able to be listening to who you are interviewing or talking with, and you also have to be looking at the computer and the mixer and being an engineer simultaneously. It is multi-levels of skills.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, but I have to say from this experience, I can truly appreciate how my mother developed that eye in the back of her head.
the mother vision and hearing.
Right, right. And it is really actually fun to stay on top of it and to be monitoring these lectures. I'm really grateful that Professor Horn has allowed me to help get Penguin Radio out there with these lectures, even in an open mic format like we did today, which is basically, we weren't plugged directly into the feed. Sandy Perlman had a great lecture, and he had a bunch of videos, over a dozen videos, as part of that presentation, as you could hear if you were listening on air.
Yeah,
here.
I listened.
And they were beautiful. He was making some great points, and he's a good speaker. But of course, we were all picking that up from an area mic. It was basically a vocal mic that was pointed at him and just picking up the ambient sounds of the room. So although it did decrease the quality of the sound, you know, you could hear like the air conditioner fan in the background was annoying me, of course, as the engineer. It didn't detract from Perlman's message, which was a really, really good one of exploring hallelujah, both as a statement that you'd make to in rejoicing, in prayer, in song, and he also explored it through all these different songs, and it was really strong.
Now, Cohen wrote Hallelujah and sang it, and it was out there, but as I understood it from Sandy Perlman's talk, it practically got shelved by another song, I'm Your Man, and it got put to the back and the wayside, but then it came out in a film later that made mm-hmm. it more popular and then was sung by, I believe, Rufus Wainwright, among others. Do you remember what film it was that?
No, I'm not remembering.
We were talking. I think it was Shrek.
The exact film. I think you're right. I think it was Shrek, but I'm not remembering if it's one or two because I haven't followed the Shrek series.
It was definitely Shrek 1.
Was it 1?
Yeah, the original Shrek.
Yeah. And, of course, Hallelujah has been interpreted in many different ways.
Yes.
And there's several different compositions written.
Right. Well, let me just say this about Sandy Perlman. He is a legendary name in the world of music. And
he is.
As I understand it, he worked with Blue Oyster Cult. Is
amongst
that accurate?
Others.
Amongst others.
Yes.
Do you know a little bit about Sandy?
I don't know that much about him personally because I'm not as much of a who's type of guy mm-hmm. as what's what. And just from the notation that I've seen, I announced, you know, that I saw that he was going to do something last night when I was researching my show. He's been a producer and he's worked with Black Sabbath, Blue Oyster Cult, and
right.
so many others.
Looks
of
like
that.
The Clash also.
The Clash, yeah, and The Clash has worked with so many people, which actually brings him around and gives us kind of a close tie here, considering that that Professor Horn's worked with a lot of bands too. And so
right.
it's like, I'd have to have Stuart here to actually tell us in person how that was connected, but I can see that we're getting closer and closer to each other in the industry.
Indeed, indeed. Yeah. Well, it also talks, I've got a little bio on Perlman here, Sandy Perlman, and it talks about how he was one of the pioneers of digital music mm-hmm. even before iTunes, and it looks like he was a co-founder of the company called eMusic.com. So he is entrenched.
Yeah, he's been on it with the business, for sure. I'm not going to mention his name. Somebody else that I know in our community had worked. He had mentioned Perlman before, which is why the name, like all these bells went off when I heard it yesterday. I'm like, wait, I know that guy. And all this started cascading. All these memories are cascading forward. Somebody had told me about how digital music recording started happening several years ago before we got everything served online.
Right.
And it's just, it's an amazing story that would deserve, a show on its own to explore.
Well, I think it would be great to have Sandy Pearlman back and talk a little bit about his pioneering efforts in that.
Oh, I don't know if you could hear it over the mic, but a couple people were asking either when you started doing questions and answers. Oh, hey, will you be teaching here? Will you be teaching here?
Oh, that's exciting.
I think that's the hopes that we can grab him and have
him. He has a lovely personality along with his depth of knowledge and his experience. So I could see that he would be an incredible resource.
I can too. If nothing else, just from the life experience of being in the industry.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the title of his talk today was The 12 Hallelujahs of George and Leonard, or Handel and Cohen Incorporated. And the lecture had music videos, and it was demonstrating on how the voice of God is both delivered and embodied in the Hallelujah chorus of George Frideric Handel and Leonard Cohen's song, Hallelujah. And if you didn't get to hear the lecture, it will be put up on podcast here at radio.dominican.edu. And if you didn't get to hear in any of or enough of Hallelujah, I have it queued up here on my iPad. So let's take a little bit of a listen to Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen. And this is Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni.
Now I've heard there was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? It goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing.
Listening to radio.dominican.edu, and this is DJ Noni on my show Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni. Today I am here in the studio with my fellow DJ Beacon.
Hey, hello.
And we were just talking about today's lecture given by Sandy Pearlman up in Guzman Hall here at Dominican University. It was put on by the School of Arts, Humanities, and Social Sciences and sponsored by the Osher Long Life Learning Institute. And it was a great program. And Sandy Pearlman talked about the singer, author, poet, Leonard Cohen, And Beacon was there putting together the live broadcast along with Stuart Horn. And he had one ear on the lecture and one eye on the mixer board. And we were just talking about how those two qualities come together. And tell me a little bit more, Beacon, how it felt to be on the mixer board and the engineer for this event.
Well, it felt great. There's a couple different levels to it. Sitting there performing that job, while not labor intensive, you know, it's going to take my attention. And so I've got the professional veneer where everything's kind of, you got your professional box there and things come in and things come out, you know, and through it, and you pay attention to them, but you don't feel much about them and you reflect on them later. And I think I'm going to be thinking, oh, wow, you know, at two levels, one about, wow, that was a great lecture. I personally really enjoyed it. And another, well, what could have done better? What went well?
Right.
That type of thing.
Now you were talking about how our mixer board and the rack weren't hooked directly into the mic feed, so you had to work mm-hmm. with the sound. How did you deal with that?
We call this an open mic setup. And an open mic setup, usually when you think open mic, you're like, oh, open mic down at the local bar, I can go bring my guitar and play my song. It'll be great. And that's true. But in this context, we're talking about opening a mic up where we're not directly patched into a signal. In other words, we did not have the broadcast coming directly from a mixer, from his microphone, or which would have been nice. Here's the difference.
So you're hearing. So what's happening is you're hearing the speaker and the ambient noise mm-hmm. in the room and everything else that's going on,
yeah.
and you don't have a lot of control.
It's a microphone just pointed in one direction, and we're picking up sound as best we can, just like an ear would
mm-hmm.
in the position where the microphone is.
Right. So you're hearing everything out there, and we as
everything.
A listener in the room have selective hearing, and we focus on the speaker. But if you're on the radio, perhaps you'll hear more than what you would have heard than when you're in the room.
Like an air conditioning fan.
Like an air conditioning fan.
Or people
fan.
Clapping.
Right.
Or somebody
oh, yeah.
tapping on the podium
oh,
to
dang.
Make a point.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and this is some of the challenges that are really fun for me, engineering some of these live lectures, is when they get start getting into their speech and I'm thinking they're about to pound on the podium,
uh-oh.
You know,
right.
I can adjust the volume levels and try to make it so that at the end, if somebody's listening with headphones, their eardrums don't pop, you know.
That is a level of attention that a DJ has to really hone, and an engineer in particular, you really have to hone that skill to be watching the speaker, listening to the speaker, and anticipating if they're going to pound the podium or if they're going to belt out.
It teaches you a lot about speakers, too.
Shout, yeah.
Listening to them, because it's an active type of listening that's not just mm-hmm. not just ethical listening like you do in a classroom or at a lecture anyway.
Right.
By paying attention.
Right.
But it's an active listening where you get the pattern and the mm-hmm. cadence of somebody's speech.
Right.
And then you're projecting.
Learn that quickly because this may be the first time that you've ever heard the person speak.
Absolutely. This is the first time I'd ever heard Perlman's voice.
Mm.
So I had to pick up his speech patterns mm-hmm. and where he was going to be, how close he's going to be to the mic, and adjust levels for listeners within, 2-3 minutes, I pretty much had it down, you know.
Well, for those of you who are going to tune into the podcast on radio.dominican.edu, you can not only listen to the content of Mr. Perlman's lecture, but you can listen for the engineering techniques that Beacon laid down during the lecture. Now, Sandy Perlman is a world-famous musician and an innovator, both in the delivery and the conceptualization of popular music. Here's some information that we have on his bio. As a rock producer, he had a formative influence on genres from heavy rock and heavy metal. And in fact, he's reported to have invented the latter term, heavy metal. I think that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And he also influenced punk rock and beyond. But he is perhaps best known as founder, writer, and producer of the band Blue Oyster Cult. And he's produced records for The Clash and others. Now, Beacon, one of the things that you said to me when you came into the studio mm-hmm. earlier after the lecture was that there was a skit on Saturday Night Live mm-hmm. a few years back that relates to Sandy Perlman. Can you tell me a little bit about that? And he shared about it.
This is the SNL skit cowbell skit.
Oh, the cowbell
Anybody that's been a Saturday Night Live fan, and some people that aren't, have probably seen this, where Christopher Walken, this is several years back, I believe it was the early 90s, when Christopher Walken was a bit younger. He's still acting, by the way. Great actor. And he was their guest actor. And he was doing a skit where they had, and he played the character of Perlman.
Christopher Walken was
Sandy Perlman.
Okay.
So when he's coming up on the video of Blue Oyster Cult, the official video there, right? And Written they've kind of skit. They've edited in Christopher Walken to make it look like it's actually a studio, and that's the point of the skit.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going, wait, stop. There must be more cowbell. They were talking about Sandy Perlman. They were poking fun at him. That skit was about.
That is great. And you have to catch that. Go onto YouTube and find that skit, because it's hilarious. Yeah. And it's great that someone in popular culture could joke about someone else in popular culture. Mm-hmm. And that's great that he was able to share that with us and poke fun at his own silliness.
That was right. Actually, the opening speaker had mentioned that part. And that was a piece of trivia I didn't know until today. But I know that skit so well that I have used it as reference to other people, because it's a piece of Americana now. So there you go. Sandy Perlman, a piece of Americana.
Love that. Well, Sandy Perlman today was talking about the 12 Hallelujahs of George and Leonard, or Handel and Cohen, and he's referring to Leonard Cohen. Leonard Cohen is a Canadian singer-songwriter. He's also a musician, poet, and novelist. And his work explores many genres himself: religion, sexuality, isolation. A lot of this we've pulled down off the web about Leonard Cohen, this information about him. He was inducted into the American Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and the Canadian Music Hall of Fame. He's got a lot of great music out there, but the one most popular recent song is Hallelujah. But it was a song that was written years and years ago that got shelved because another song came out, which was I'm Your Man. And then Hallelujah recently came back into our consciousness because of the movie Shrek.
Right. And, Perlman was saying how it was really a great break that happened. And even though Sandy didn't use these exact words, I think what he was trying to get to us is here's an amazing piece of composition that Cohen wrote to honor Hallelujah. And it's actually like this really huge song that, but the reason it kind of got buried and hidden is because it wasn't in the right place at the right time with the right sound. And that's just how the music industry goes. I mean, entertainment business is tough. Timing is just as important as talent, unfortunately. So it's great that this came back out and that we were able to hear not just these versions of Hallelujah in this lecture, but Sandy Perlman was really good at showing us, with his vast, extensive musical knowledge, how Cohen's bass line and everything for this song went back to Handel, which is the connection between Cohen and Handel. The long-dead and acclaimed classical artist.
Yes. And how those lines just keep coming back into music and informing us in every age. And we don't miss a beat.
Timeless music.
Yeah. Here's a funny little piece about Sandy Perlman. This is just a personal little piece. His birthday is August 8th.
Hmm.
That's my birthday.
Oh,
I love that.
Mine's actually not far from there either. I'm the first week of August.
Oh, that's great. Oh, great. So Leo's, there must be something. And Sandy had a really great energy when he was giving his talk.
It's a happy roar.
Definitely a happy roar. We Leo's. Well, thank you for sharing a little bit about the lecture. And I'd like to hear a little bit more about it. I'm going to play right now the song I'm Your Man by Leonard Cohen. And if you missed it at the lecture, you can hear it here, and then you can capture the lecture on radio.dominican.edu when it gets podcasted. So let's see what Leonard Cohen has to sing for us in I'm Your Man. And this is radio.dominican.edu, and I'm DJ Noni.
If you want a lover, I'll do anything you ask me to. And if you want another kind of love, I'll wear a mask for you. If you want a partner, take my hand. Or if you want to strike me down in anger, here I stand, I'm your man. If you want a boxer, I will step into the ring for you. And if you want a doctor, I'll examine every inch of you. If you want a driver, climb inside. Or if you want to take me for a ride, you know you can, I'm your man. Are the moons too bright, the chains too tight, the beast won't go to sleep? I've been running through these promises to you that I made and I could not keep. Ah, but a man never got a woman back, not by begging on his knees. Or I'd crawl to you, baby, and I'd fall at your feet, and I'd howl at your beauty like a dog in heat, and I'd clog your heart, and I'd tear at your sheet. I'd say, please, I'm your man.
You are listening to radio.dominican.edu, and this is DJ Noni on Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni. Today at Dominican University of California, the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute put on a lecture featuring Sandy Pearlman. And Sandy Pearlman is an icon in American rock music. And I'm here in the studio with my fellow DJ Beacon.
Hello, hello.
And Beacon was at the lecture doing the engineering and listening to Sandy Pearlman's talk. And Sandy Pearlman's talk was about the also legendary singer-songwriter Leonard Cohen, and in particular, the 12 Hallelujahs of George and Leonard, or Handel and Cohen Incorporated. And he was talking about how Handel's beat and bass line came through in the song Hallelujah with Leonard Cohen. And in a little bio here of Leonard Cohen, the critic Bruce Eder, he assesses Cohen's career by writing that Cohen is one of the most fascinating and enigmatic singer-songwriters of the late 60s and has retained an audience across four decades of music making. And what we learned today in the lecture was that Hallelujah was written earlier in the 60s, 70s, but it just wasn't, it was before its time.
Yeah, Cohen's version of Hallelujah, because there are actually several songs.
Right, and there are several versions of it. Mm-hmm. And then recently in the movie Shrek, you know, just probably 10 years ago right now with Shrek, it came out and then many others started singing it again. And one of the popular versions is the Rufus Wainwright version of the song.
Yeah.
So we've got Leonard Cohen with this great piece of music, and then we have Sandy Pearlman, this great, you know, rock icon, talking about it. It was
making
pretty
some great connections.
Yeah,
too.
Really great connections. And then one of the things that there's a biography about Pearlman, and it talks about how he grew up in Smithtown, Long Island, in New York, and his dad was a successful drugstore operator, and he's a college grad. That's nice, BA, State University of New York. And here he is at Dominican University. One of the things that the Osher Long Life Learning Institute says about Sandy Pearlman is that his academic appointments have included holding the Schulich Distinguished Professor Chair at the Schulich School of Music at McGill University in Montreal, and he's currently both a visiting faculty member at McGill and the Dean's Professor of Interdisciplinary Innovation at the University of Toronto. So this is a guy who is a musician and a creative man, but he's also an incredibly intelligent, intellectual, academic man as well.
Oh, he is. And I could tell that from the lecture, not just by his lecture style and the fact that he was juggling a bunch of things and still getting his point across, still keeping his eye on the ball there. Also, you know, some of the things that you don't hear so much, especially when I stopped the broadcast, and, you know, he's doing a little bit of small talk before and after the broadcast.
Great.
And he talked like a professor. He talked like somebody who's done his time in the lecture circuits, for sure. And it's always nice, you know, here at Dominican, we get so many great lecturers in the ILS series, AHSS brings them. They come out of the woodworks from all these great programs and all the great people, faculty and students here. And, you know, Pearlman, I think, was, even though I was maybe under-marketed, I only saw a Facebook blurb and a little piece of news on the Dominican website at dominican.edu. Mm-hmm. You know, some of these things are under-marketed. I mean, it wasn't a big splash in all the local newspapers when the governors were having a debate here, for example.
Right.
Even though it was a big thing to happen.
Right. But the folks in the audience really got an earful. And they soaked up this information. And he had so many details, little pieces of information that just brought things to life. And when you listen to it on the podcast, everyone, at radio.dominican.edu, you'll hear how his voice and his personality just go together. And Beacon, you won't see this on the podcast, of course, because it's not a visual medium, but Beacon was telling me that as the engineer watching the speaker, he had some observations about Pearlman's body language and the clothing that he was wearing. So give us a little description of that.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, one of the great reasons to go to a live performance of anything, whether it's lecture or music, reading, poetry, is the feedback that goes on in the room. And when I'm talking about feedback, I'm not talking about a baby burping.
Right.
I'm talking about the
connection.
The connections, the communication that's going on that's nonverbal. I mean, it can be verbal, but, you know, the reaction of the audience, the tension that may or may not be in the air. Some of these things are palpable, even if you can't witness them and put your finger quite on them without some training. And some of the observations that I had, aside from the fact that the Guzman Lecture Hall, which used to be our library, by the way,
a long time
years
ago.
And years ago, it's a beautiful, high-ceilinged room with great acoustics that's great for lecturing. That's going to set a certain stage that I think anybody would enjoy if they enjoy public speaking. Most of the audience, I noticed, it wasn't mostly students. It was, I'd say, a generally older crowd, mature crowd, that were rapt. They were completely focused in on Pearlman and what he had to say. Pearlman himself was at such ease behind the lectern there.
Great.
Even when he had technical troubles with a couple of the software things, which were minor difficulties.
Right.
He knew what was going on up there. He knew what he was doing. He was picking up on the audience feedback and feeding right back to them by adjusting his speech and his presentation.
Great.
And here's the one thing that really struck me that you wouldn't have noticed unless you were there.
Tell
and
me.
You might not even notice because of the content, was he was dressed like every man. And when I say every man, I don't just mean every American. I mean like every man in the globe. And I don't know if he did this as a statement or if he was, say, just not dressed up with a tie because he knew that it was appropriate for the venue. I'll describe to you blue long sleeve shirt, blue long pants, which could, like jeans, and a hat that was also denim. This could be clothing that you would see in Siberia, in Idaho, in Beijing, in Beirut. I mean, he was every man. And in a way, with his presentation that drew upon all these different international sources of Hallelujah, I found it really appropriate, because even with all his expertise, with all of the fame that's behind him, he was standing there as one of us.
As one of us, and how you described that made me think of him acting as a canvas. And, you know, he wasn't, the information was the flash, he was not. And his clothing and persona were the canvas for his lecture.
Yeah, he definitely set an informal tone with it, which I think was nice.
I could tell when I was listening to the broadcast that it was informal, and he really had a great connection with the audience. And during the moments where he was working the clips and the technical equipment, the audience, like you said, they were so rapt. Mm-hmm. They wanted him to be successful, and they wanted to hear that piece of music. They were not impatient. It was like slowly unwrapping your favorite piece of candy. And then finally, when the button got pressed and you heard, you know, hallelujah, everyone was just like, oh, it was great.
I wish that we had patched directly into that feed instead of just doing an area recording, because some of those productions of Hallelujah in the acoustics of that hall, it was over the overtone was a little overwhelming,
right?
That was coming through. I personally was sitting there, like I said, I had that professional mindset, but there's another part of me that was being really moved by the music, emotionally moved.
And I have a personal connection to the song Hallelujah through my nonprofit. I have a nonprofit that takes young people down to Mexico, International Service. And we build homes for families there, and it's a wonderful way for young people from America to go and help people in another country cross-cultural understanding. And we often bring crafts and musical instruments. And one year when we went down, one of our team members was a very gifted, and still is, a very gifted guitarist and singer. And Hallelujah was our theme song.
Wow.
And at the key ceremony, when we handed over the keys, we played Hallelujah and we all sang it together, and it was emotional and fulfilling and such a strong song for we Americans as we knew it from the movies and from Leonard Cohen. But as we sang the song, the folks there also knew this song. And the children who didn't know the song learned the song very quickly. It's one of those that just comes from the inside. And this one young man, 5 years old, sitting in the lap of one of our team members, you know, just relaxing. We're all singing. We're singing, hallelujah, hallelujah. He's singing, ameguya, ameguya. It was the cutest thing ever. And that was his word. Oh. He knew that. So he's like, I know this song. And he was just going to town singing it and felt great.
That makes a really good point. It reinforces a point that Sandy Perlman had made near the beginning of his lecture.
Oh, yeah.
Which was that there's two things about this song that are so wonderful. One is that it's so accessible. Virtually anybody without any training can pick up on the song, run with it, and you know, be able to sing it. The other part was, and this was his opinion, which I have to say I'm exploring it. I'm kind of backing it up. His opinion was that because Hallelujah itself is a term, a word of power, a term of power based on, you know, the words, what the word means, that it empowers the singer by voicing it. And this
Hang on one second. Do me a favor. Say that again.
Hallelujah itself is a power word, and by vocalizing it, it empowers the speaker.
There you go.
That's mantra. Right there. That's the heart of it right there.
And when they were describing Sandy Perlman's talk, and when he gave them the blurb to put in here, he talked about the lecture demonstrating how the voice of God is both delivered and embodied in the Hallelujah chorus.
It's definitely something worth exploring more. I'm glad I had the lecture. And I want to thank Sandy Perlman, even if I can't do it personally right now.
Yes.
I definitely have gratitude that he's exposed me to all these different interpretations and songs and music that have been written for Hallelujah.
Well, thank you very much to Sandy Perlman. Thank you very much to Leonard Cohen. And also thank you to Dominican University of California, Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, and the School of Arts, Humanities, and Social Sciences for bringing this incredible information to all of us here. And remember, you can go to radio.dominican.edu to listen to the podcast. We are going to get that up on the radio.dominican.edu website probably later this evening. Well, this is DJ Noni, and what I'm going to do is sign out for today. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening. We're going to leave you with Leonard Cohen's song, Everybody Knows. This is radio.dominican.edu.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that the boat is leaking. Everybody knows the captain lied. Everybody got this broken feeling, like their father or their dog just died. Everybody talking to their pockets. Everybody wants a box of chocolates and a long stem rose. Everybody knows. Everybody knows you've been discreet, but there were so many people you just had to meet without your clothes. And everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes. Everybody knows that's how it goes. Everybody knows. And everybody knows that it's now or never. Everybody knows that it's me or you. And everybody knows that you live forever. Oh, when you've done a line or two. Everybody knows the deal is rotten. Old Black Joe still picking cotton for your ribbons and bows. And everybody knows. And everybody knows that the plague is coming. Everybody knows that it's moving fast. Everybody knows that the naked man and woman are just a shining artifact of the past. Everybody knows the scene is dead, but there's gonna be a meter on your bed that will disclose what everybody knows. And everybody knows that you're in trouble. Everybody knows what you've been through. From the bloody cross on top of Calvary to the beach in Malibu. Everybody knows it's coming upon. Take one last look at this sacred heart before it blows. And everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes.
that fight.